The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Seeker cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part two of a three-part series in which we look at the unidentified asset in the box. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Autofail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos, or that are just bad for the game, get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. I'd also like to extend a big thank you to Cole Monroe Chitty for the art that graces this channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro, as well as the new overlays for these reviews. Thank you very much, everyone. I couldn't do it without you. We are back with part two of our review of the Seeker cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This time around, we are going to look at the unidentified asset in the set, as well as its four upgrades. It is Archive of Conduits. Unidentified, it's a two-cost asset with a wild skill icon, item, tome, and occult trait. Limit one per deck. As an additional cost to play this asset, place one resource on four different locations as ley lines. As a response, after you successfully investigate a location with a ley line, exhaust this asset, move that ley line onto this asset. Then, if there are four ley lines on it, discard it, take its ley lines as resources, and record in your campaign log that you have identified the gateway. Archive of Conduits takes up a hand slot. Thoughts on the Archive of Conduits?
This feels like one of the easier things to be able to identify. Whereas, like, Ancient Stone, you had to spend experience and then be able to identify it. Let's see, there was the one from Carcosa that makes you discard a certain amount of skill icons, and then there's the Elixir, or the Strange Solution, which is probably the easiest one still to date, but, I mean, this one has a pretty nice benefit to it, in that you get some resources once you're done with it, which is pretty cool. It's not bad, it's cheap as well.
I mean, I wouldn't exactly put this in just to get four resources after spending four investigates, I mean
you're going to investigate anyway.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and, you know, like, these cards are always meant to be, like, a cost for a better card, so...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's nothing too out of the way. You don't exactly have to, like, take a seven difficulty combat test or anything like that. You just do it. Yeah, so nothing much to say, really, about the unidentified archive. Other than the fact that it is one per deck, so that could be an issue with... searching it out. However, you're a seeker, you can do it. It's because it's also a tome, so you can find it with Research Librarian from the core. Easy peasy.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue with this card is simply timing it properly to get it on the table. It is limit one per deck, but as you said, Metastrophic, you can find that with Research Librarian right away. And then you just happen to need four locations on the table. Now, there are certain campaigns where this is not going to work out, namely the Forgotten Age, where I'm not too sure how you would be able to do this easily, especially in something like the Untamed Wilds. You'd have to wait quite a while before you could play this, and then you'd have to do a lot of backtracking and running around in order to do it. But for the most part, most early scenarios have enough locations on the table that you can play this down. Seekers are going to take a lot of investigate actions anyway, so this isn't really forcing them to do anything crazy. If you're playing a seeker, you're probably going to investigate, and so this is going to be fairly straightforward to deal with. And you do get some resources once you do pick up all four ley lines. I guess the other potential issue is that you do have to exhaust this when you discover the ley line. So you can't have one mega turn where you go to a location, investigate, grab a ley line, move to another location, grab a, you know, do an investigate and grab a ley line. So it's actually going to take you four turns in order to complete this. Right. But I wouldn't say that this is the most difficult one of the unidentified bunch to finish. How would we rate this one?
It's kind of hard to rate independently just because this is like just a card that's meant to be something that facilitates a better card. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I guess a zero just because it does have a lot of interesting options for you when you do eventually upgrade it. And that's cool, I guess. And it is a tome, so it does have plenty of support as well. And it's pretty easy to accomplish the identification process. So, yeah, I think a zero is reasonable for it.
Yeah, I'll go with the same thing, for lack of any other. If this was it and it didn't upgrade into anything, it'd be terrible. But the fact that it does upgrade into something, yeah, it's fine. It's a zero.
Yeah, I'd agree that this is probably a zero. There's, like you said, there's really not much to say about it. If you're playing this card, your goal is to upgrade into one of the four upgrades available. And so I think you can probably complete this pretty easily in the first couple scenarios of a campaign and then move on. That brings us to the first upgrade that is available for the Archive of Conduits. This is the Gateway to Tyndalos. It is a 4-cost asset that costs 4 experience points. It has 2 combat skill icons and a wild skill icon. It has the ritual trait, the new researched keyword, which basically says it's an upgrade for the unidentified asset. It has 4 uses, the 4 ley lines, limit 1 per deck. As a free triggered ability, you may move 1 ley line from this asset to a non-elite enemy. And as an action, you can choose an investigator and an enemy with a ley line at a revealed location. That investigator moves to that location. You may remove the ley line to deal 1 damage to that enemy. And the gateway to Tyndalos takes up an arcane slot. Thoughts on the first upgrade?
This one feels pretty mediocre, honestly. Like, comparing this to Acidic Ichor, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no contest between those two cards. It's also non-elite, so you can't even use this to kind of slowly peg down a boss enemy. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this one, personally.
Okay, so I think the strengths of this one is that the Seeker can be anywhere, because it says move a ley line from this asset to a non-elite enemy. Doesn't have to be at your location. Same with choosing the investigator to teleport to that enemy, neither of which need to be at your location. In a world where cards like Elusive get tabooed, like, how do they print this? You know, like, let's just add more teleportation. I wish this card wasn't in the game.
I did kind of gloss over the teleportation aspect of this card. I think they all have that effect, though, don't they?
No, the agility version does not.
Okay, so at least one other one does. It's nice, but like, you know, to put it in your deck, you're spending that experience plus that whole upgrade process to deal some damage and move investigators around, which, depending on what campaign you're playing, might be pretty useful. It seems like the campaign Edge of the Earth has a ton of huge maps from what you've been saying, Man from Lang, and just what we've seen from the mild spoilers that they gave on that live stream a couple of months ago. I don't know. It still feels
it's just,
pretty lackluster.
If huge maps are like there to be a challenge, why are they giving Seekers like ways to just totally bypass the challenge? Mm. It's like, what are you doing? So this is a weird one, because it's like, it's an effect that's like not super overwhelming, but at the same time, it's just like, why is it that other classes don't get to do this? You know, why is it that this is the only class that gets to, like, just bypass movement challenges?
It feels more like a mystic thing, right? Like, mystics should be able to, like, tap into powers and teleport around the map, but apparently
that's true, like, open gate. But you gotta, like, walk all the way over to the location and open the gate, and this one's hard to rate, because on one hand, it feels like a curse, where it's like, this is just bad for the game, but at the same time, the effect isn't super-duper-duper overwhelming. Unless it is.
When teleporting an investigator around the map is good, it's going to be really good. But when it's not good, then it's not good at all.
Yeah, this one is interesting because I think, you know, if it was just had a teleportation effect,
without that non-elite enemy proviso on it, I mean, yeah, that would be amazing. But the fact that you need a non-elite enemy on the location in order to trigger this thing, I think really reins it in a lot. And it sort of feels like I can't think of a situation where you would say have a guardian and a seeker where the guardian has somehow ended up far away enough that you need to teleport him or her to this non-elite enemy's location. Like the guardian, like the I'm saying guardian here because usually they're the ones responsible for enemy management. The guardian and the seeker usually tend to stick pretty close together, especially with cards like Safeguard available to guardians, where it's like, I'm just gonna basically, where you go, I go, and I will protect you. And so I have a tough time imagining the instance where I would be using this. Like the effect is very powerful, at least the teleportation effect. The one damage seems kind of like a, I don't know, it's.
Oh, but you can hit aloofs.
And barricade decks.
Yes.
You
That's
could stay
true.
in your barricaded location and move other investigators around the map when enemies spawn.
I also admit that reminds me, I do wish Guardian had a card that could like ping for a damage as an action for free 4 times with that without making any test. Wow, I wish Guardian could do that.
Yeah, I
I
think
mean,
you raise
again,
a
it
good
can.
point, Nate, about the barricade decks, because a lot of these upgrades sort of felt like a something Min would be interested in, where she hunkers down, everybody sort of moves away from her, she sits in her little cubby hole and hands out skill cards to everybody, and then rejoins them when necessary or moves people around. Yeah, it's I feel like that non-elite enemy clause really reins this in, because how many enemies stay on the table for longer than a turn? Like usually
Yeah, it's true.
people just want them dead. And so a non-elite enemy appears, somebody will kill it, and then this thing is effectively blank, right? So this rewards you for leaving those enemies alone, but that sort of runs counter to how people play the game. I really had a tough time wrapping my head around this one, just trying to think of occasions when I would want to play it. And like even in a scenario like the Doom of Etsli, where you really sort of need to move from one end of the map to the other as quickly as possible, unless you had a non-elite enemy at the entryway, which I think is pretty rare. That would happen. I mean, you wouldn't be able to use this.
There's also the fact that this loses the item and tome trait, and it just becomes a ritual card, so it also loses support with things like Research Librarian, so you can't even search for it, you just have to depend on drawing it.
So how would we rate this one?
I feel like you're playing this more to move investigators around the map than you are for the damage. And I think for that reason, for me, it gets an Elder thing. Because it's kind of when it's good, it's going to be good, I think, for the reasons that it wasn't really intended to be good for. This card feels more like you're supposed to move an investigator to an enemy and then help them kill that enemy, but this is probably more just used for moving, not for helping defeat enemies, so I don't know.
I'm gonna rate this a tentacle. Just don't play this. Like, you're either gonna break the game because, of the teleportation effects. Or you're going to do something very overwhelming and is not worth 4 XP and 1 per deck in a ritual. Either way, if you take this card, like, it's a bad idea. So just tentacle.
I think I'll give this. I don't know if I can give this a tentacle, but it feels like an elder thing to me just because it's one of those cards where it's not immediately obvious by looking at it when this is going to be useful. And I feel like the most non-elite enemies die. I guess it could be useful in certain situations. I'm thinking of scenarios like Echoes of the Past or something like that, where non-elite, there's a lot of non-elite enemies that don't spawn on you and they spawn in other parts of the map. And so having
Yeah,
the ability.
but note how to teleport. You have to teleport to a revealed location.
Right. That's the other issue. Yeah. So, yeah. I guess maybe it's in this case, like in that case, if you're playing Echoes of the Past, you'd have to have your seeker sort of running up the levels of the historical society to get to that enemy and then teleporting the guardian to that enemy so they could ping it for a damage. But then those enemies are still aloof, so you've done a damage and you still have to engage it. And yeah, this one makes my head hurt. I'm just gonna give it an elder thing, and maybe there will be deck builders out there who can prove us wrong, but I'm not too sure how often. I don't think in solo, I mean, I can't imagine a solo investigator choosing this card, because usually the enemies spawn on you and you simply just deal with them and move on. The second upgrade for Archive of Conduits is the Gateway to Acheron. 4 cost asset that costs 4 experience points. 2 intellect skill icons and a wild skill icon. Ritual Trait Research uses 4 ley lines, limit 1 per deck. As a free triggered ability, you may move 1 ley line from this asset to a revealed location. As an action, choose an investigator and a revealed location with a ley line. That investigator moves to that location. You may remove the ley line to have them take an investigate action. This one seems easier to trigger than the previous one, because locations are usually plentiful and start on the table, so you don't have to wait for some non-elite enemy to show up. What do you guys think about this one?
This one seems much better than the first one.
This is the Star Trek teleporter is what this is.
Because
note how you don't have to remove the ley lines, and you don't even have to be at the location with the investigator that you teleport, and you don't have to be at the location that you lay the ley line down at. So this is like infinite elusive. This is how, if a scenario can be broken with teleportation, this is how you do it.
Well, think of like a scenario like Wages of Sin, right? Where all the locations start revealed. So you just
practice
on the starting location, and now everyone all of a sudden can just
Yeah, this is, I don't know.
And it doesn't exhaust, so you can move everybody.
Oh, that's right. Oh my god.
You're like, I'm going to move you, you, and me. Bup, 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 beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of those where it's like, Seekers just, there's this whole aspect of the game that just like, cards like this just say, nah, we're not going to bother with that. We're going to use cheat codes, you know, to bypass them. I guess also you can move yourself to like get an investigate. So, sure. Okay, so even at its worst, it's still action efficiency, because yeah, you have to go to a revealed location, but you can go like as a single action, you get a move and an investigate 4 times. So,
and that's assuming action, like the location's a connecting location. If it's a even further location, then this is just nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
a scenario just like Devil Reef, for instance, where you put this on, say, I don't know, some other distant island that another investigator is at, and then you can all of a sudden just teleport right next to them.
So yeah, I mean, you could just send the boat to have somebody just go and explore, and then have the Seeker use this just to, it's like, okay, we need to go to this island. Okay, well, that's, I can get there and I can investigate with one action. And basically in that scenario, I mean, moving the boat takes time, moving between all the locations takes time, and this just eliminates all that with one action, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, because in that scenario specifically, like, you have to get a key and then return it to a set location, right? So it's like, oh, you know, either you find the key or you find the location, you drop the ley line on it, and then you go and grab the key, and then you just insta teleport back. That's not, I don't think, what they intended for that scenario.
Yeah, this card doesn't seem to be compatible with, like, Carcosa or Innsmouth, Dream Eaters. You know, like, that's like this teleportation, just especially repeated teleportation.
I mean, just think of like if you somehow manage to be able to like interpret this thing scenario 1 of TFA, and then you go into Doom of Etsley, and then you're able to just use this.
Yep. The whole party, that's right, because you're not limited by the non-elite enemy part of the first one, because, you know, locations tend not to disappear.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can just move everybody to the entryway without any issue whatsoever. I mean, the biggest issue is, I think, because this is a ritual and it's limit 1 per deck, you're going to have to find a way to draw it. And I don't think there are any ways to that specifically target rituals. So, but Seekers have so much draw that really that's not much of a challenge for them, I think. So timing might be an issue, but yeah, that's pretty much it. How do we rate this one?
I don't like this card. I think I'm gonna give it a curse token. Like, this card just feels really game-breaking in a really, like, obvious way, in my opinion. Like, how do you not see this, like, absolutely breaking scenarios?
Yeah, I agree. It's like a cheat code for anything, for any movement-based challenges. On top of that, unlike Tyndalos, this one has, like, at worst, it's got action efficiency. You spend four, you know, you put into play, and you get eight actions worth of effort. Like, at worst, you get eight actions worth of effort. Curse token.
Yeah, I think I'll give this one a curse token as well. If you had to choose investigators that were with you to move around, you know, maybe that would rein it in, but the ability to choose anybody on the table at any revealed location, like any location, and teleport them to any revealed location, that just, yeah, it
I
breaks
just wish the
scenarios
game
and it just
would.
trivializes them in a
I
way
just
that.
wish the game would get rid of all teleportation effects. Just taboo all of them. You know, that way you don't have certain classes with teleportation effects and certain ones without. Get
I
rid of
feel
all of
like
them.
Open Gate is like the proper way to do an effect like that, like because it
Yeah, that's true.
requires you to go to the location, play the card, and then go to another location and play the card again.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, like if
Yeah.
they had done this card that way, where it's like, okay, if you want to place the ley line, you have to be at that location. And then if you want to move an investigator, you need to be at that investigator's location.
Yeah, you gotta send them. Yeah.
That would
Or even
rein this card in considerably, but the fact that it's like I placing a ley line is a free triggered ability, so it's not costing you anything there. And then the fact that you can just move anybody from anywhere to anywhere, as long as somebody has been there at least once, and they get a free, you know, investigate action if necessary. Yeah, it's.
or it'd be like it'd be one thing if you could set like a network of ley lines down, and then you could like teleport between locations with a ley line on it. But like you said, as it's
Oh, like an
printed.
like a leveled open gate. Yeah.
Yeah,
Like
yeah, yeah,
if Mystic got it, not if Seeker got it.
yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, as it stands, this card's just stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
That brings us to upgrade number three. This is the Gateway to Aldebaran. Four cost asset, four experience points. This has two agility skill icons and a wild skill icon. Ritual trait researched, uses four ley lines and limit once per deck, as they all are. As a free triggered ability, you may move one ley line from this asset to a non-elite enemy. As an action, you can choose an investigator engaged with an enemy with a ley line. That investigator disengages from that enemy and moves to a connecting location. You may remove the ley line to automatically evade the enemy. This action does not provoke attacks of opportunity. This one seems to be less powerful, at least.
Yeah, but I can't help but think it's stealing the lunch of Mists of Rillier, because there's no test. You just auto evade.
It's like a remote Mists of Rillier that you can do on another investigator.
Like, oh man, I wish Mystics could get a card like that, you know?
It even takes up an arcane slot.
Yeah.
This is better than the one that deals damage, though, because
Yeah.
being able to automatically evade an enemy is pretty useful in a lot of scenarios. It's unfortunate that it's still non-elite, but is what it is. I would recommend if you wanted a one that deals with enemies, that this would be the one you go to.
Yeah, I agree. Remote evasion is like I think stronger than remote single damage. I mean, unless you're talking about like whippoorwills, then you know, but that's very specific. Although cultists, you know, acolytes, those are good to ping remotely.
That's
Yeah.
true.
But still, is this another card where the seeker steals someone else's lunch?
Yeah, I was thinking about
Yeah.
playing this in Before the Black Throne, where you need to sort of move a lot of people around, and you've got the mindless dancers that are a real pain in the butt to kill because they have so much health and they're relatively tough and take some pretty tough tests. If somebody sort of stays behind, the dancer engages them. You can do this from, once again, you can choose any investigator at any location as long as there's a non-elite enemy with them. And so you have somebody sort of lag behind, the dancer engages them. The seeker uses this to disengage that investigator from the dancer and then gets to also move that investigator to a connecting location. And if you remove the ley line, they automatically evade the dancer as well, which gives you even more time for the group to make their way. I think it's
Yeah, so it's got
important to
that.
note on this one that this one actually does not provoke attacks of opportunity, which some of the others do not. So even if you are engaged, if the seeker happens to be engaged with an enemy, they can still help somebody else out.
Yeah, you get 4 free evades on this. And free moves, so it's like 4 charges of... It's like a Miss Aurelia with no test.
Yeah, and you can use it on yourself. I mean, we've been talking about it largely as moving other people, but if you're engaged with an enemy, it's like, okay, I automatically evade that enemy and move away, and then if it's a hunter, that enemy chases me, I just dump another ley line on it and do it again. But it is non-elite, so that is something that reins it in.
Yeah, but generally, like, you want to be killing enemies that are worth victory points, and evading an enemy is pretty much just as good, even, especially if it's, like, an enemy that doesn't hunt. You know, you just leave it in the location.
If the enemy doesn't hunt, you probably don't even need to do more than disengage it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't even spend a charge if it doesn't hunt.
So how would we rate this one?
Of the ones we've looked at so far, this one feels like the most appropriate in terms of power level to me, so I think I'm willing to give this at least a 0, if not a +1. It's pretty good.
Power level wise, it does seem like, compared to other like seeker effects, it seems like a 0 or +1, but I'm still going to give this a curse, because stop stealing other classes' lunches, seeker. Please, just stop.
I'm going to settle on +1 for this one. I think it's, of the ones we've looked at so far, this one seems appropriate and balanced, at least a little more than the other ones we've looked at, where that was just crazy. Evasion I think you've said it multiple times, Metastrophic. The ability to automatically evade enemies that are engaged with other investigators is a rare ability, and this is one of the ways that you can do it. Not once, not twice, but 4 times, if necessary. So that's nice as well. The final upgrade for the Archive of Conduits is the Gateway to Paradise, 4 cost asset that costs 4 experience points. It has 2 willpower skill icons and a wild skill icon. Ritual trait has the same researched uses and limit 1 per deck as the other 3. As a free triggered ability, you may move 1 ley line from this asset to an investigator. Choose an investigator with a ley line as an action. That investigator draws 1 card and heals 1 damage or 1 horror. You may remove the ley line to have them instead draw 2 cards and heal 2 damage or 2 horror, and it takes up an arcane slot. What do you guys think about this one?
This is a sweet Carolyn card. Man, oh man.
Oh, yeah, because it heals horror. That's right.
Yep. And Carolyn can take the unidentified version because she has access to seeker cards, so that's cool.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yep. I actually like this one. Yeah.
I like this one quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
Being able to repeatedly heal damage or heal horror is a pretty good ability on a card like this. Yeah. And you're never going to need all those ley lines, you know. You're probably going to slap it on 1 or 2 people. I feel like generally in 4-player games, like, one person kind of, as the generalist, can sort of stand around and doesn't really take a whole lot of damage unless they draw really poorly in treachery cards. So, you know, you generally put this on, like, 1 or 2 people. If they have like 5 health or 5 sanity, and then you're able to kind of keep them at out of range from like a Grasping Hands or Rotting Remains or something like that, this is pretty good.
No, this isn't bad. The power, I think remote healing is something that, are there any cards that can like heal remotely?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so it's the first one that can remote heal. I think my only beef with it is that you don't exhaust it. So if you put this on yourself, all your draw actions also heal a damage or a horror for the rest of the game. That's a bit much. Let's say you decided to use it not as a draw engine and as a let's say you tabooed this down to like the draw being once per turn. How about that? Then this feels like perfect. You know.
Or if it just exhausted.
Or if you just like exhausted it. But it's like the healing, speaking of spend 3 actions to heal 3 times is like pretty cool. It's being able to spend 3 actions to get 3 draws and 3 heals every turn, you know, like without any charges. That's like, that's the top. Yeah.
And with Carolyn can trigger this multiple times, right? Because her ability isn't once per turn.
Correct.
So you can spread this onto other investigators and generate tons of resources that way too, which is pretty nuts.
Man, this one, it feels appropriately powered, but at the same time, the draw is what, it still ends up being overpowered because of like the infinite draw heal stuff. Ugh. Seeker.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this set that makes me keep thinking of Min, an investigator. I haven't really played that much because I don't play a lot of multiplayer. But if Min hunkers down, spreads the ley lines around as necessary, and then just it's like, okay, I have a spare action who wants a card and a heal. And you don't even have to remove the ley line. You can just keep doing that every turn. And then if somebody really gets in trouble, then okay, maybe you remove the ley line. But handing out cards and healing to whoever needs it is pretty nice. How would we rate this one?
I got a bias for Carolyn, so I'm gonna give this a plus one.
It's funny, so do I. I'm gonna give this a plus one with the caveat that I highly suggest you house rule it, that you don't use it as a draw engine. Like, you limit the draw,
Just
and then it's a
exhausted.
plus one. Yeah, like, or exhausted or something. It's one of the, because, like, it, unlike the teleportation one, the infinite teleport one, it doesn't, like, break whole scenarios. You know, it just provides nice, supportive healing to your whole group, which I think is very, which I think is very nice. And the fact that, the game's, like, prime supportive healer character, you know, can take this, and that's also really nice. Just use responsibly.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this one a plus one. I do like this one. I think probably more than I like most of the others. I mean, the auto teleport one is pretty crazy. The nice thing about this one, again, like the auto teleport one, is that you don't need any non-elite enemies on the table to use it. All investigators start in play, so you're good to go from the very beginning of a scenario. The only trick is drawing enough cards to get this in your hand and get it down, and then you can any of those spare actions that you happen to have. I think especially in multiplayer, where I think investigators tend to have a little more flexibility than you do in solo, where you're sort of relentlessly moving forward and trying to complete scenarios as quickly as possible and don't really have a lot of spare actions. In multiplayer, I think you can end up in situations where it's just like, well, I don't really have anything pressing to do this turn, so who wants a card? Who wants to heal? Like, here you go. It's all yours. And the fact that
Not
you can
only.
just keep doing that without actually having to exhaust this card or burn charges or supplies or anything like that, it's pretty good.
Yeah, not only that, but what you're saying about multiplayer, one thing I've also noticed happens in multiplayer, and this is why the remote healing is pretty important. When you have four times the players as solo, that's four times the chances for one of the players to get like a bad set of encounter cards or a bad set of token pulls, and end up being in a situation where they're like, I'm at one sanity, and they're crippled. You know, they're like, they can't like progress because they're at one sanity and they're so afraid of falling over. And that, like, they have to conserve all their icons, you know, and they have to, like, they can't engage anything because they're worried about falling over. And so, like, that support effect, being able to pull the party out of that, like, is pretty nice.
Yeah, and I think I have played the last time I played a Seeker in multiplayer, I was playing Ursula, and I mean it's the Seeker is usually I feel like the one who has the least pressure on them a lot of the time, just because they're just sort of moving and investigating, and that's their primary job. They're not really dealing with enemies. They expect everybody else to deal with those problems, so being able to sort of say, okay, I'm gonna not use one of my investigates this turn to heal somebody is pretty nice as a seeker, because at least when I was playing in that particular campaign, it was like I move, I investigate, I move again, I investigate, and it gets pretty monotonous sometimes, and having another outlet to help the party is good.
I was just thinking when you guys were talking about Carolyn, of course, and Carolyn can take Shrewd Analysis and take Ancient Stones and then also take this, and you would just become a healing monster.
Oh my god, this combos with Ancient Stones. You can heal yourself and then trigger your Ancient Stones to heal again.
So
You know
you're
what also
welcome.
combos with Ancient Stones, Nate? You ready?
Well, Vase will
Forced
be
learning.
very happy.
Forced learning, Nate. You draw two cards.
Why?
Carolyn! Carolyn.
That's going to do it for our look at the Archive of Conduits. the unidentified asset, and it's for upgrades. Any final thoughts on the latest unidentified asset?
I now both hate and love this card at the same time. Quite like Gateway to Paradise, but I quite dislike the Gateway to Acheron. Right? Is that that's the one that teleports? Yeah, that's the one that teleports. That one's dumb.
Yeah. Secret cards just seem like the research cards just seem to have this problem. It's like the fact that they have to be researched, like, is, to be honest, it is not a good way to balance cards. Like, it's really not, because like what you get, you end up spending the same XP, you know, and in a later scenario, and you get a more powerful card, you know, for the XP. Yeah, I just wish they would stop doing these.
Yeah, I think this once again shows the huge disparity in the upgrades for these sorts of unidentified cards. I mean, it started way back when in Dunwich with the strange solution where the acidic ichor was head and tails above anything, any of the others, and was an immediate pickup. And then here we've got the teleporter in Acheron that is incredibly strong, and then you've got the paradise, which is pretty good, and then you've got the first one, I believe it's Tyndalos, that's kind of like a little harder to use, probably not the one you're gonna choose.
But even then, it still has an effect that makes Guardian jealous in the ability to do Tesla's remote damage, you know. That's what really bugs me. You know, it's like,
it always seems like the identified cards that are problematic are the ones that can easily deal with enemies, easily move, or easily investigate.
Extra actions. That's kind of
I think specifically those actions, because like Seekers are already really good at investigating, so like amplifying that to an absurd degree can kind of trivialize a lot of higher shroud, higher clue locations. The being able to fight is just kind of antithetical to what Seekers should be able to do, and then moving around the map is just busted.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter @manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.